This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, it's hour two on this Wednesday. Hour one flew by. Had breaking news to start the show. According to ESPN, Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman Trophy back. First question I had was, is he dropping his defamation lawsuit against the NCAA? And more importantly, does USC get its national title back? But we got calls in to the NCAA, Pete Carroll, Reggie Bush. Fritzy is working feverishly to advance the story. If we locate somebody willing to come on and talk about it, I would love to have the NCAA come on, or at least a statement from them. Did they do this in conjunction with the Heisman Trust? I would be surprised if the Heisman Trust acted upon itself and acted on its own and said, you know what, on further review, we're giving Reggie his Heisman back. So, also, Reggie joined us in January of this year, January 16th. And I did ask him, would you drop your defamation lawsuit if you get your collegiate records restored, you get your Heisman as a settlement? We'll have, we'll bring back a portion of that interview coming up. Good morning. If you're watching on Peacock, that's our streaming partner, our radio affiliates around the country. We're over 400 cities carrying this program. I'm excited about Dan's deals. This is the third year in a row that we've done this for Mother's Day, and we take care of everything. We take the guesswork out of it. I've been around for a long time with Mother's Days, and you kind of run out of options. You don't want to do the same flowers and candy, right? You want to spice it up a little bit. And we got Dan's deals here to help you out. You're going to get great products, hand-picked, 50 to 60% off retail prices. The Mother's Day shopping spree, you can get that done and get it done out of the way. And she doesn't know that, you know, we helped you.
I'm a classic. You know what? I'm going to do that today. And then the day before, I'm like, oh, crap.
Yep.
I forgot to do that. Just do that today. And then the peace of mind alone is worth it.
Go to danpatrick.com. The newsletter. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, you'll have first dibs on all of these great products that we have at danpatrick.com. 6 Eastern, it comes out. You can go and do your all your shopping for Mother's Day. And we pass the savings on to you, at least 50% off all of these products. And we have, I think, 6 or 7 different possibilities, different gifts for you for Mother's Day. But make sure you go to danpatrick.com later today. Today's Mercedes-Benz interview of the day brought to you by the brilliant EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz. The feeling all Mercedes, the vehicle all electric. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQE-SUV. So we'll talk to Drake May here momentarily. We will talk to Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst. Is there a chance New England is the team that's going to change the first round of the draft? And that is that pick, that third overall, is up for grabs. Because do you want to bring in Drake May, who may not be ready to play right away? Do you want to build your team and then worry about your quarterback next year or the year after that? Every year, we talk, a lot of times, we talk about the quarterbacks who aren't available. Last year at this time, what were we talking about? Man, if Caleb Williams was in this year's draft, okay, now he's in this year's draft. And then we'll have some quarterbacks who are going to be available. And then you're going to have teams go, do we tank for this guy? Is this guy worth trading up for? Minnesota needs a quarterback. Denver needs a quarterback. The Raiders, Seattle might be. The Rams might be. You have more teams who need quarterbacks or at least are interested in quarterbacks than you do have actual quarterbacks. I spoke to a source last night who had high praise for Spencer Rattler. Remember when he was a thing? When he came out of high school, he was a thing. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't. And then kind of had a reclamation season with South Carolina. But yeah, some positive. Now, I don't know if it's because it's supply and demand. Hey, well, he's considering the quarterbacks are available. Yeah, he's in the mix there. I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback, but there was high praise for Spencer Rattler, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. III. Somebody's going up. Somebody gets squirrely. It happens every year where you go, man, I did not see that coming. But that's going to happen. Yes, Paulie.
You can never be hotter as a quarterback than when you're not available. Remember years ago, I could find stories, Christian Hackenberg at Penn State when he's a freshman.
Oh, yeah.
If the draft were today, Josh Rosen, a freshman at UCLA. If the draft were today, Matt Leinart, if he went a year earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, but then he stayed around.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah,
a few. Caleb Williams a year ago, there was not even a discussion whether he was the number one pick of the draft.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was the biggest lock of the past 5 years.
Still kind of is.
And you still get these stories that come out. And a story came out where might have been a GM who said, hey, he reminds me of Prince. And I go, the musician? Yeah. You know, like, do you want that kind of player, that personality? I go, well, I don't know. Prince is one of the most talented musicians of all time. Like, was he different? Yes. But is that a reason why? If we're having a draft, would I draft Prince? Yeah, I would. I'd draft him pretty high. But I don't know where, like, we're really trying to reach with some of these quarterbacks and go, you know, that guy, I mean, he might be wearing dresses or he's got his fingernail polish. And I go, can you play when you get on the field? Yes, Paul.
No one ever said Prince was too short to be a star rocker.
No.
A lot of people, some people question it, but not the people who knew music.
Well, you know what? The music combine, I mean, he tested pretty high. Yeah. That dude, crazy talented. All right. Drake May set to join us. He's partnered with Lowe's, teaming up with them and the NFL, a local community project in Detroit, surprised a local contractor with an invitation to go to the draft. By the way, Lowe's built the green room there, and you're going to get to go and announce an NFL pick. So they surprised a local contractor there, and Drake May set to join us on the program. All right, before we get started, give me your official height and weight.
Official height and weight, 6'4 and a half, 225 right now. Probably close to 230 when I get closer to season, but 225 right now.
Best athlete in the family?
My mom.
Your mom? My mom.
Yes, sir. She was a great athlete in high school. She doesn't show as much now, but she grabbed some clubs and played 9 holes. She doesn't play 18, but she grabbed some clubs. She'll still beat us brothers. So it's pretty sad. But
how about with you and your brothers? Best athlete amongst the three?
Yeah, myself. I think it's a pretty easy answer. They're good athletes, though, but I'll take myself.
All right. What's the best thing that's happened through this whole process so far?
The best thing that's happened. I think a chance to reflect on my college years and how far, how many different people I kind of poured into my life, and being a chance to reflect and see how many special people were in my life and made this moment special. And to be here on Thursday with all my family and all my brothers coming into one place and all my friends and family to enjoy one moment, kind of reflect on that. And kind of, you always dream of this, and kind of coming to it and realizing that it's about to happen is pretty cool.
What team did you grow up liking?
Oh, Panthers fan, huge Panthers fan. You know, we got season tickets, and when Cam Newton came, and it was the best thing ever. So we were big Panthers fans.
Have you met Cam?
I have. I played him in 7-on-7. He coached a 7-on-7 team, and we played him, growing up, and he has a good squad.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's huge. Yeah, I'm about 6'4" and a half, 6'5", and He's about like 2 inches taller than me, probably like 30 pounds on me. So he's a big dude.
As far as other teams that you visit, give me something interesting that you've been asked.
Interesting I've been asked. It's a good question. Probably the most interesting that you've been asked is kind of why me. I think that's always the most interesting. You know, they always start with that and say, hey, why should we draft you? And I think it's one of those questions that, hey, kind of puts you on the spot, but you know, make kind of ready for it. So I'm just ready to be kind of be the guy and ready to kind of translate my game in the NFL. So I'll fit, you know, the NFL game a little more, and I'm excited for that.
Okay, but when they say why you, do they want to know if you want to start? Like, is that part of this too? That, hey, I want to come in and start, or
yeah,
you know, that we'd prefer somebody come in and want to learn.
Exactly. That's why it's tricky. You kind of have to play it both ways, because obviously, you know, the competitor and me, you want to go in there and start right away and you know, be the game, the game one guy and the day one starter. But same time, that's not reality. You got to be ready forever. So I'm just kind of ready to compete, like, you know, like I'm going to be the starter, and you know, up to their decision, but I'm going to try to prove them that I'm ready to be the starter. Other than that, you know, ready, you know, to learn and wait until, you know, I earn that job.
What's it like to read the negative reviews?
Yeah, try not to. I think that's the, you know, the biggest fault of, you know, athletes in our space, especially how big social media is nowadays. You know, so many fans out there that don't like you, and there's even more that are a fan of you. So try to enjoy the positives, and you know, unless it's my coach or one of my family members or somebody in my inner circle, you know, saying something negative about me or something I need to change, then that's, you know, that's a different, you know, different subject than you know, Joe Schmo works at Applebee's or something.
But do your brothers look for the negative stuff just to give you grief, to say, like, if you were my brother, I'd be trying to find some things to needle you a little bit. Would your brothers stoop to that level?
No, if it got real personal, they would, but I think my brothers have been three of my biggest supporters. So I think kind of once you get to this stage in the NFL, there's so many people out there that aren't fans of you and saying, you know, negative stuff. So I think if your brothers, you know, I think at a certain point, you know, maybe in high school sports, you get on for something, but kind of on this stage, I think it's a little bit past that.
Favorite quarterback when you were growing up?
Favorite quarterback. Cam Newton was my first one, being a big Panthers fan. Other than that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I was a big Aaron Rodgers fan.
Have you met Rodgers?
I have not. Nope, I have not.
Okay, let's go around the room. Has Drake met Michael Jordan? Todd, I'll start with you.
I'm going to say no.
Seton.
I got a no on that one.
Marvin.
Yes.
Paulie.
Drake played basketball. He's been in his presence before, Michael Jordan's presence.
And his brother played on a national title
team. Yes. Yes.
North Carolina. I'm going to say yes, you've met Michael Jordan.
I have met MJ.
All right. Yeah. All right. Cool. MJ. Oh, it's MJ. Okay.
I mean, if you call him your GOAT, he's got to be MJ, right? You don't call him Michael Jordan. You call him the GOAT MJ. So,
what'd you talk about?
I met him at the halftime of one of the basketball games when I was getting recruited. Coach Brown, you know, brought me down there and had me meet, you know, MJ. And it was pretty sweet.
That's nice. That's a part of your NIL package. You get to meet Michael Jordan.
Yeah. No, that was in high school. That was in high school before I even you know, committed. So I was committed to Alabama at the time. So getting to meet him was pretty sweet.
Okay. What's that conversation like when you call Saban and you say, Coach, I'm not coming to Alabama?
Yeah, it was tough. Yeah, I dreaded it for a while. You know, being with Coach Saban, he's, you know, one of my favorites in the recruiting process. So having to tell him that, you know, I'm going to stay home was tough. But I think Coach Saban understood, and shoot, you know, maybe would have worked out a little differently, but at the same time, you know, Coach Saban, he's, you know, I think he's the GOAT of college football. So
he did okay. He did okay.
Yeah, he turned out all right.
Draft night suit, you already got it picked out?
Yeah, I'm simple, no swag, so I'm just keep it simple.
Okay, is there a light blue is there a Carolina blue in the suit?
I don't know. I mean, you'll find out.
Oh, okay. Because you might do like a New York Giants blue. Or
yeah, that's a little too royal, closer to Duke. I can't wear blue if I was wearing blue at all. No.
Or you could have like Patriot blue in there.
Yeah, it's that navy. So if I'd wear any blue, it'd be Carolina.
Do you know where you're going?
I wish I did, and I wish it was that easy. Now I think I'll know once I hear that phone ring.
But do you? So. I mean, do you have an idea? You don't have to tell me, but do you have an idea?
I think I have an idea.
Okay, all right. And do you like the cold?
I don't mind it at all.
Okay.
You got to play football. Football is a cold weather sport nowadays.
All right. I just want to make sure. Do you plan on hugging the commissioner, or are you going to give like just a firm handshake?
I hadn't thought about that one. Hugging him. Ooh, I'm
you don't strike me as a hugger. You did.
Yeah. Like maybe like a dap and a one arm around. Maybe.
Okay.
You know, not really a hug, a two arm hug. It doesn't seem like
But don't treat him like your mom when you come home.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, that when I see the draft guys do that and they pick him up, and we don't need that.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Some of those guys do that. I think it's pretty cool though. Some of the big D linemen or offensive linemen, I think that fits. So.
All right. You want to be the next Peyton Manning when it comes to selling products. So here's your turn. You're joining us on behalf of Lowe's. Let me hear Drake May pitch Lowe's.
Yeah, first off, Lowe's, you know, it's North Carolina company. It was an easy fit for me. I was excited when this opportunity came. Kind of right off the bat, I was joining their home team as the newest member. And right off the bat, them helping the community, and got a community service event tomorrow that I'll be helping out at. Just giving back to the community means so much to me, and kind of an easy fit. You know, I grew up, you know, Lowe's right across the street in a neighborhood shopping center. And shoot, when we had, you know, we needed our driveway extended, we went to Lowe's to get a half court hoop and, you know, get ready to go. And we had our backyard. We had a long, probably 40-yard backyard that, you know, we painted with Lowe's paint, and we did it all. So I think, you know, one of the coolest things, I was here 2 weeks ago, and we came into Lowe's, and I did a, you know, kind of a pre-draft little draft shoot, and it was awesome. We even surprised one of the local pros at Lowe's, you know, with the chance to go up on stage and announce a pick, and just stuff like that just means so much to me. And Lowe's is a great company and a partner in the NFL, and little things like that go a long way. And my family's, you know, full of surprises. We love surprises, so that fit right in.
Is the green room built by Lowe's?
It is. Yeah, Lowe's did it all. You know, the draft stage did it all. So I got to walk by it and preview all, you know, 2 weeks ago, and kind of get a little preview. And now walking across it Thursday will be special. Even more special now that, you know, I got to see it before and partnered with Lowe's and know that they all did the work. So,
well, good luck. Good luck with the Giants. And, you know, we appreciate you. Wait, you
appreciate
didn't,
Dan. Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on.
You didn't react when I said good luck with the Giants there.
Yeah, shoot. You know, you could throw any team in there, and I'm ready to play forever.
Carolina, you're not going to be playing for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wish. So, no, it's got to handle.
Hey, good luck. Congratulations. Have fun Thursday night.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Drake May. Hey, he wishes. And a lot of times you'll get, I'm hearing. Okay, I don't know who you're hearing from. That's always dangerous. Because you can circle a comment or quote or opinion by saying, you know, I'm hearing. From who? I've had neighbors who want to talk sports, and they'll go, hey, you know what I'm hearing? I'll go, who are you hearing it from, first of all? Like, the mailman? Jimmy Lipper down the block, and you're talking to him? You know I'm hearing? Yeah, see.
Is it that Cardinals pick at 4 that's the real wild card?
I think the Patriots at 3. Now, they may say, look, we're set on our quarterback. We got our quarterback, and we're not going to be up here in a position again.
They are classic trader outers, though, aren't they?
Yes. Well, Belichick was.
Belichick was, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the Cardinals pick, and then you got the Chargers. And it feels like those teams are, you know, in business to move down. Question is, what's it cost to move up? We'll take a break. We'll talk NFL draft with Matt Miller. Get his final mock draft here. Also, we'll keep an eye on the Reggie Bush story. We did hear from a former Heisman Trophy winner who was at the reception, the ceremony this morning. So it's already happened that Reggie got his Heisman back, and we heard from a Heisman Trophy winner who said, yeah, I was there. Sent us a picture. And I go, I'll be damned. They've already done this.
Breaking news.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah. I think there were like 10 to 15 Heisman Trophy winners who showed up for this. So we'll see if we can get more information for you. Take a break. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up on Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up on Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Still a wild story this morning. Reggie Bush has already gotten his Heisman back. They had a ceremony this morning. Saw a picture with him and the former Nebraska quarterback, Eric Crouch, arm in arm, and they're like, yeah, Reggie's back in the mix. I don't know how early this was, that they was everybody up early in Los Angeles to be able to do this? Were they in Florida? Looks like it's warm weather, but it's early, and Reggie got his Heisman back. I just want to know, NCAA involved in this? To what degree? Does it stop a defamation lawsuit? I will bring you back the question and Reggie's answer when he joined us in January. When I asked him about that, would you drop the defamation lawsuit if you get all your records and the Heisman back? So we'll have that for you coming up. Matt Miller is a busy guy. He's a draft analyst for the Mothership. He'll be part of the broadcast there on ESPN and ABC. Kind enough to join us. How close are the top quarterback? Let's say the top four quarterbacks.
Yeah, pretty close. I think for me, Caleb Williams is far and away the best. And I think he's in a tier by himself. Jaden Daniels has separated himself over the last year, certainly, but definitely over the past few months, I think, as well. And then you have Drake May, who some people like a lot. JJ McCarthy, again, who some people really, really like. But I do think that they are much closer now than they were 4 months ago. You know, like the last time we saw these guys play football, they were not very closely ranked. What happens over the course of the process is guys interview well. JJ McCarthy's pro day was one of the best pro days that a quarterback has had in a couple processes and in the interview process. Also, teams fall in love with these guys, and that overinflates their stock a little bit. I think that's what we're seeing. If four of these quarterbacks go in the top six tomorrow night, and I think they will, then we're looking at another draft in which teams have fallen in love, because we're in this model of you go up and get your guy or you wait for the next year. The second round quarterback kind of dead. Like the developmental quarterback is dead. You either get a top 10 pick or sometimes you get lucky with a Brock Purdy.
Where's the draft start?
I think it starts at 3. Caleb Williams is going to go first. That is the worst kept secret in the world right now. I feel very strongly Jaden Daniels goes number 2, but I think there is room. I don't know if they're top golfing in Detroit today, that maybe we can figure out exactly who's going to go number 2, but I feel good about Jaden Daniels going 2. I think they've smoothed over their differences. 3 is where it starts, because New England could certainly stick and pick. They could take Drake May. They could run it back with another Michigan quarterback. Jim Harbaugh says Jay McCarthy is the greatest Michigan quarterback of all time. If you believe that, then you have to take him over Tom Brady. But I think 3 is where it starts, because they could take one of those guys. They could do the kind of crazy thing and take Marvin Harrison Jr., who is, for a lot of people, the best player in this draft. Or they could trade back. And I think all those scenarios are certainly on the table. The hard thing with New England is we don't know who's really running the show there. Is it Jonathan Kraft? Is it Gerard Mayo? Is it Elliott Wolf? Is it kind of a consortium of people who are calling the shots there? So it makes it difficult to try to even know who to call, and also to predict based on, you know, maybe what they've done historically.
I don't know if somebody's asked Jim Harbaugh this, but I would say, Jim, you love J.J. McCarthy. You really love him. Well, why don't you trade Justin Herbert, and then you'll get J.J. McCarthy on his rookie deal, and wouldn't that be better suited for building this team? How do you think he would answer that question?
I don't think he would. I think we would get I'm sure you remember, San Francisco 49ers era Jim Harbaugh was a lot different than Michigan era Jim Harbaugh. You would get the most sarcastic answer after he stared and blinked at you for several seconds, making you feel like you're the dumbest person on earth. He's really calmed down in his old age. So I don't think you would answer, but that is a fair question. Hey, if McCarthy's this good, why not trade Herbert? And I'm sure his answer would be, you know, some type of PR spin of he's the best in this draft, but Justin would be, you know, the number one guy if he were in it. But I know there, you know, early on those conspiracy theories definitely existed.
We're talking to Matt Miller, ESPN draft expert. Give me the team that could really, like, turn this sideways. And maybe that's New England, but is there another team where you go, wow, that could really shake up the first round?
New England definitely is the one. I think the other right now is if the Minnesota Vikings don't trade up to get the quarterback. You know, 6 weeks ago, they acquired the Houston Texans first round pick. That's number 23 overall. So they're sitting here right now, picks 11 and 23. No team has ever acquired a first round pick 6 weeks before the draft. It just doesn't happen unless it's in the top 3 and you know you're getting a quarterback. So they really signaled at that point, we're open for business. We have 2 first round picks. We want to go get a quarterback. If they don't do that, it would be, I think, very surprising, very risky. If you know, if you're Minnesota and you have the same grade on JJ McCarthy and Bo Nix, maybe you sit there at 11 and say, hey, if JJ doesn't make it to us, cool. You know, we'll take a corner or a defensive tackle. And then at 23, we'll draft Bo Nix. It's risky, but you could certainly do that. And I think we saw this last year with Houston and Arizona being super aggressive, but also they played the board really well to get into the ideal positions to take their guys. And I'm very curious to see if we see copycats tomorrow night of teams that think, hey, we'll trade back a couple spots, and then if we need to, we'll just move back up. It's risky, but it makes it a lot of fun if it works.
And it feels like, once again, we have a plethora of wide receivers, like top-end wide receivers. Yeah. But there are a lot of draft experts, scouts, who don't want to take a wide receiver in the top 5 or even top 10. Where do you stand on that?
I think if it's an elite prospect like Marvin Harrison Jr., then you do it. And I would put Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze up there as well. They would all three would have been the number one receiver last year, no matter how you had it ranked. They would have been drafted highly last year as well. I think guys like Zay Flowers and Jackson Smith and Jigba and Jordan Addison would be probably drafted in the late teens to early 20s this year, like they were last year. But, you know, their draft stock would stay about the same. So I get the argument of, hey, this is a position you can find value late first. Look at Justin Jefferson. You can find value in the second round. You have A.J. Brown and Deebo Samuel and Rashee Rice last year had a huge year for the Chiefs as a second-round pick. So you could certainly find that value in round two. I think when it's a transcendent player, you know, like Ja'Marr Chase was, when you can get a player like that, it's worthy of the top 10 pick. But you certainly hear that, you know, of top 10 should be a quarterback, a tackle, or a pass rusher. You know, that's really it. Now, this year, we're going to see a lot of that. We're going to see a lot of those guys early. But the expense of wide receivers, Justin Jefferson's going to get like $30 million a year, has made it to where if you can hit on one, even in the top 10, it's still a really good value.
Okay, I'm wondering about this with Justin Jefferson. You let Kirk Cousins go. You got Jefferson there. He's going to charge you, you know, it's going to cost you $30 million. You're going to bring in a rookie quarterback. Or maybe you have Sam Darnold there. Are you really threatening this year? What could you get for Justin Jefferson that, once again, allows you to reset everything? If you're going to draft a quarterback, now I got to reset. You got Addison there. You got a running back there. You got an offensive-minded head coach. But what do you say, look, we have the best receiver in football. We're going to keep him and help out our rookie quarterback at $30
million? I think that's what they're going to do, because – your fan base would revolt if you traded a 25-year-old best receiver in football. But that's, you know, in your hypothetical here, if you called the Arizona Cardinals and said, hey, instead of taking a chance on the best receiver in the draft, we would trade you the best receiver in football. It's going to cost you 4 overall. The Cardinals have 27 overall, so you're probably going to want that. And I would want more than that, though. I would want more than the two first for Justin Jefferson, even understanding that you're going to have to turn around and pay him.
So, yeah, but I don't want to pay him $30 million. I would rather take one of these other receivers that we're looking at Dallas right now, Matt. I mean, they got to pay Dak because Jerry handled this poorly. C.D. Lamb should be locked up. Now he's going to cost you even more. Micah Parsons is going to cost you $30 million. C.D. Lamb probably 25 or so. And then Dak's going to cost you $55 to $60 million a year. You can't win with Dallas, that.
You can't. Dallas is a poor blueprint for what anyone does. I mean, it's terrible. You could argue the three most important positions of football, and they have guys entering a contract here at the same time. It's not a good plan. I think Philadelphia is the model of you draft good players and you pay them early. You know, and there's a risk. We've seen that blow up, you know, with Daniel Jones and Carson Wentz and some of the quarterbacks. I would argue they weren't good players. They were just paid because of, you know, sentimental value. But I think that's the idea. It's draft Devonta Smith. And when you realize he's a hit, you pay him after that third year, because the salary cap is only going to continue to, you know, go up at astronomical value. And guys are going to just want a bigger piece of that pie. So I'm with you. Do not look at Dallas. If you're an aspiring general manager, don't look at what Dallas has done, or, you know, the New Orleans Saints, teams like that, that every year they're trying to scramble to figure things out because they've mismanaged either their salary cap or the way that they do their contracts.
What do you think Buffalo does?
I think Buffalo would love to move heaven and earth to get Rome Odunze. And I completely agree with this strategy. If you're Buffalo and you've gotten so close to taking over the AFC, but you can't beat Mahomes and the Chiefs, you just can't do it when it matters. So you've gotten that close. Why not go all in to try to do it? And I don't know that a pick at 28 overall is going to be the difference for them. I think now's the time. You know that you're going to be picking late in the first round every year because you have Josh Allen and you have a good coaching staff that's always going to put a good defense out there. How valuable is next year's pick number 28 or 29 overall? If you could take this year's first, next year's first, and get a Rome Odunze in the top 10 potentially. I think Buffalo is one of the few teams, really, where you can make that argument of you're close. You have the quarterback. You have the infrastructure. What you need is, like you were saying, Dan, you need that rookie wide receiver. You need that guy making $5 million a year who could be one of the top players at his position. So why not go for broke? What do you have to lose if you're Buffalo? You've had leads. You were up with 13 seconds left in Arrowhead. Like, you're there. So why not make that big play, the splash move, you know, the Julio Jones type trade to go get a Rome Odunze?
Give me your wild prediction for tomorrow.
That would be one. The Buffalo just, I had a scout text me this. The Buffalo is going big game hunting when it comes to the wide receiver. So that was something that I toyed with in my final mock draft. I still think Michael Penix Jr. is one of those things, and I know you know a lot more people than I do, but it's the one thing that I can't stop hearing is that Michael Penix is going to go in the top 20. He's going to go a lot earlier than people think. So yeah. I don't know if I'm being told that so that I'll hop on the Dan Patrick Show and say it, and teams will panic and freak out that, oh my gosh, Michael Penix Jr. is going earlier. But a lot of folks are saying that to the point that it's hard to tune it out.
I heard the same thing. You know, one of my sources who's a scout said, he just consumes football. Like, we love it. The injuries don't scare us. We loved what we saw. And I go, okay. Because I'm trying to figure this out, like, who's really telling you the truth? And
right.
But I don't know if anybody reacts to this, Matt. If all of a sudden Sean Payton's going, wait, what did Dan say? Now we're going to have to go up and get him. We got to spend. I don't know if anybody, if you are reacting to what we're saying, I got real concerns, you know, for those GMs and coaches.
But I know they, you know, I'm not trying to brag about this. Like, they read the mock drafts because I get the calls, you know, of like, hey, who do you have us taking? I was at Michigan's Pro Day and a GM came up to me, and I felt bad. I didn't recognize him because I was kind of in the moment. He's like, hey, who do you have us taking? And I was like, okay, I have you taking this player. And it was like, okay. And so maybe he just wanted to start a conversation that way. But I do think that they read the mock drafts and they listen to the intel, because maybe Mel Kiper has a nugget that will actually help you, you know that you have to jump someone to get your player.
Good to talk to you. Know you're busy. Have fun tomorrow night. Thank you, Matt.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
That's Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, part of ESPN's coverage. Whew. Something's happening. Something has to happen tomorrow night. I just feel that way. Wow.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow,
you
know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere.
Get tickets now.
Top story of the day. Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy back earlier this morning in Florida. Some other Heisman Trophy winners were attending. It was a summit. They were surprised. We talked to corresponded with Eric Crouch, the Nebraska quarterback who won the Heisman. Said they were all surprised. Reggie got it back. Talked to somebody with the Heisman Trust Committee. They said the NCAA had nothing to do with this, that this had been in the works for the last couple of years. Now, there's one thing that does stand out here. The Heisman Trust is changing their own policy of only considering eligible players for the Heisman because, according to the NCAA, Reggie Bush was still ineligible to play in those games. Haven't heard anything from the NCAA, and the Heisman Trust Committee said they acted alone, not in conjunction, even though there is a defamation lawsuit pending against the NCAA. Chris in L.A. Good morning, Chris. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan. I just wanted to give you a little context. I'm a lawyer here in L.A. and a SC guy, so I was following the Todd McNair, who was his Reggie's running back coach.
Yep.
He filed a defamation lawsuit and forced the NCAA to settle because the judge actually ruled that the investigators were malicious in their investigation of him. And I believe that's why Reggie was so confident in his interview with you that everything was going to be fine because all of that information was going to come out in his lawsuit. And there was some incredible emails between the investigators of how you could tell they were specifically going after McNair and Reggie. And so I think with the new NCAA regime, I think they may say, you know, that was the old regime and we're going to try to move forward. And they may actually reinstate his yards and maybe allow the school to have the national championship. But there's a lot of litigation and deposition evidence that came out that I think is why Reggie was confident that everything was going to be fine.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris. Yeah, I haven't heard anything from the NCAA, but if this doesn't help them with the defamation lawsuit, you know, that's the interesting part. Yeah, Paulie.
Amongst the luminaries at the Heisman Summit that when Reggie Bush walked in were Earl Campbell, Eric Crouch, Archie Griffin, George Rogers, Steve Spurrier, Ricky Williams, Tim Tebow was there.
Mm.
None of the former Heisman winners at the breakfast or whatever was going on knew Reggie Bush was even there until he walked in and got it. So it was a surprise to everybody.
All right. We still have about a half hour left. If we get any more information, we'll let you know. Steve Palazzolo, our good buddy with Pro Football Focus, and you can check it out at pff.com. They have their mock draft there, and Steve, the Pro Football Focus analyst and head of football product, co-host of the Pro Football Focus NFL show, and a friend of this show. Give me the player who's dropping right now, Steve.
Well, everybody's talking about Drake May, you know, the quarterback from UNC. I really thought at the beginning of this draft cycle he was going to be locked in at number two. But you're talking about Jaden Daniels of LSU maybe being that guy. I think the more people watch, they really love Jaden Daniels. And I think they've been a little disappointed with Drake May, some of his mechanics, missing some of the easy stuff. But I'm still a Drake May fan. So if he does fall or a team like the Vikings packages those picks to come up and get him at, say, three or four, I think Drake May has a chance to really be a good player. And so I'm a big Drake May fan still. I'm a little surprised that people have soured on him as much as they have during the draft process.
Yeah, but you use the word good. If I'm taking a quarterback in the top five, I want him to be great.
Yeah, Dan, I don't know how many of those guys exist. There's only a handful. So, you know, it's a challenge, man. I mean, the last few years hitting on quarterbacks, I think it's because that standard, what you're saying, it looks like we miss on quarterbacks more, but it's because we put this standard of they have to be great. They have to be the next $50 million quarterback, and there's only one starter. You don't get time to develop. You know, what Green Bay did with Jordan Love is rare and may have really paid off for them. So, look, I think there's still value in having a good first contract quarterback. But choosing the next superstar, good luck if you could really do that very well going forward.
How many quarterbacks does Pro Football Focus have graded as first-round draft picks?
I think we feel good about the top three, which is you know, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. I think as far as who we expect, I think J.J. McCarthy being there, I see him as more of a fringe first, who I think has been bumped up a little bit this offseason. And then, you know, Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, again, as I think is more of those fringe first type of guys. So depends on the view. Obviously, the quarterbacks tend to go higher because of the value of the position. But I think there's three, those top three, I think, are the surefire, should be in the top 10 type of guys.
This always amazes people when I ask this question, because the answer is not always as obvious as you would think. But if I said the best player in the draft is who?
So, yeah, obviously we're taking positional value out of it. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the guy at Ohio State. I think the subtleties to his game as a receiver, the big question is going to be, well, he didn't work out and we don't know how fast he is. And the guy that he's competing with for the top receiver spot, Malik Nabers, went out there and tested and looked explosive. But I think Marvin Harrison Jr., just outstanding as a just all-around receiver, body control, route running.
But you're not big on a wide receiver top five pick, right?
I'm fine with that top five. I think receiver is right up there as the most valuable non-QB position in the NFL. Now, they are easier to find in rounds two and three, but I think there's three blue-chip receivers in this draft. It's Marvin Harrison Jr., it's Malik Nabers, it's Roma Dunze from Washington. I'd be fine with any of those top three receivers going top five, top 10, because I think the value is absolutely there at the position.
Have teams ever reached out to Pro Football Focus privately asking questions, or could you do research on this, or what do you have on this player?
Yeah, there's been a lot of stories throughout the years. I can't really divulge most of them, but look, every team has PFF data. They all have our data and other data sources. And they all have some level of analytics team or department or football research department that's doing work with our data. And I think that's the interesting thing. When you hear, Dan, when you hear these other analysts say, well, the analytics would say, you know, that there's no such thing, right? It's the same data that's being used a plethora of different ways, right? You change one variable, it changes the outcome. But I'll tell you this, every NFL team is using the data and information to try to make the best decision. They just all sometimes come to different conclusions.
Help me understand what the Broncos are doing at the quarterbacking position.
I can't wait to see what they do, right? You've got the Sean Payton factor. Is he going to be impatient? And the fact that the Broncos are now sitting on the massive dead cap of Russell Wilson. And because of the Sean Payton trade, they don't have a second round pick. So of all the QB desperate teams, the Broncos are probably in the worst position to go make a move. They're sitting there at 12 overall. They have five or six teams ahead of them who also need quarterbacks. So I think it's one of the biggest stories of the draft. Will the Broncos mortgage even more of the future, give up? They have to give up future draft capital if they're going to go get a guy, or they're going to sit there at 12, take a non-quarterback and get like a Bo Nix in the second round. So I think it's probably the Bo Nix move. I think it's going to be tough for the Broncos to move up and compete with teams like the Vikings, who just have so much more to offer those top teams.
He's Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, NFL analyst and head of football product. Also co-host of the Pro Football Focus NFL show. I don't know if New England's doing this. If they are, I applaud them, because I don't want to draft a quarterback and not have the infrastructure to help him succeed. They learned from Mac Jones, at least I think they would, that if you draft Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, you're going to go back to what you had before, and that is you don't have a good team around him. It feels like maybe they're going to build a team and then they're going to try to get their quarterback maybe next year or the year after that. Your thoughts?
I'm usually of the minds that you draft the quarterback, but I think in this situation, you're right. I mean, not only are they completely rebuilding, I think the offensive line needs work. The playmakers absolutely need help. You know, they're in an AFC East where you're trying to compete with the Buffalo Bills, who are still really good, and the Jets, who are going for it these next couple of years, and the Dolphins, who are good. You're not going to put a dent in that, I don't think, in the next year or two. The human dynamic here, though, is the Robert Kraft factor, right? I mean, coming off of four losses, you know, basically disappointing seasons post Tom Brady, getting older in age, how much does that, you know, become a factor? But on paper, New England should be a trade down candidate, should be a build the infrastructure first, then get the quarterback type of team. New head coach, new regime, new everything. They should be saying, hey, let's compete in 2025 and 26 instead of just, you know, looking to this year. But I don't know how that's going to work with Robert Kraft as the owner.
Also, do we look at the Dolphins' blueprint and our team's going to try to emulate the blueprint with their wide receivers, with that offense, with what, you know, Mike McDaniel is doing?
I mean, it's tough to emulate the fastest team in the league. I do love the speed, though. I think it's been a perfect blend and marriage, though, of Mike McDaniel, who's an outstanding play caller, comes from the Shanahan tree. They're awesome at getting guys into space. And then, hey, let's put the fastest players in the NFL into space. I think the tough thing to replicate is, you know, Tyreek Hill is one of one when it comes to speed. And they did happen to find the, you know, one of the guys that's close in Jaylen Waddle. So I think it's tough to replicate. But what I would replicate is loading up at playmaker, at receiver, because I think that's what made Tua take that big step in year three of his career. And I think that's how you support your first contract quarterbacks. Goes back to what you said about receiver value. I think receiver value is absolutely massive and through the roof in the NFL, because that's how you make your quarterbacks better.
What teams are bad at drafting?
Oh, man. I mean, look, a lot of people have been fired, so you can't say they're still bad. But, you know, look, a team like the Raiders over the last 10 years has certainly missed on a lot of first-round picks. Remember, they had the Khalil Mack trade, which I thought had a chance to really reset that organization, and they come away with Cleveland Furl, who was a bit of a stretch at number four. They came away with a running back in Josh Jacobs, a safety in Jonathan Abram. So the Raiders have done a poor job, I think, historically, with their first-round picks over the last 10 years. Again, we've got a whole new regime there. And I think teams that overall, generally, just that pick needs more than just literally taking the best players, you know, relative to positional value. There's a few adjustments and tweaks that you would make. But when you go into the draft and you say, I have to have a tackle, I have to have a corner, I have to have a safety, that's when mistakes are made. So I think the teams that really are true to their board, evaluate the players, take the best players, over time, they're going to build the strongest rosters.
More likely to draft a quarterback, the Rams or the Cowboys?
Oh, man, I think the Rams. I'm not sold that the Cowboys are ready to move on from Dak yet, despite all the noise and the fact that they're pushing themselves up against the wall. I think the Rams, just because I think it's in their nature, Les Snead, they drafted a quarterback last year in Stetson Bennett. Les Snead loved Stetson Bennett. I think there's a little bit of an eye to the future for the Rams because Matthew Stafford, getting a little bit older, battled so many injuries the last few years. I'll say the Rams more likely, and I still believe the Cowboys will come back to Dak and figure things out going forward.
Best defensive player in the draft is?
Laiatu Latu from UCLA, the edge defender. If he did not have the neck fusion a couple years ago, the injury concerns, the medical retirement at Washington, I think this was clear as day. Latu is one of the best pass rushers we've seen since collecting data on college football since 2014. I think he should be the pick at eight if Atlanta's going edge rusher over Dallas Turner from Alabama. So if Latu, it's another story I'll be keeping an eye on. If he falls to the mid-teens, or even into the 20s because of the injury, it reminds me of Derwin James a few years ago, fell to 17 to the Chargers, and they got a top five player in the draft. That's what a team's getting, top five player in the draft if Latu falls to the teen. So could be a massive steal if the injury does pop up in the first round.
Who did Pro Football Focus have as the number one quarterback last year?
I think we had Bryce Young just ahead of C.J. Stroud. I don't think we were different from a lot of other outlets, but yeah, it was Bryce Young than C.J. Stroud.
No, you're supposed to be different than other, or don't do that. Hey, we weren't the only ones that may have missed on this.
Look, I mean, we were completely different in 2018 and wrong when we had Baker Mayfield. We felt great about Baker Mayfield over Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I'll happily admit that one, but yeah, the data said Bryce Young slightly over C.J. Stroud last year.
Oh, great to talk to you. Have fun tomorrow. Thank you, Steve.
Yep, thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. While I was doing the interview, so Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy. And I had somebody say the following to me in an email. What if the Heisman Trophy Committee decided to be the good guys and get out in front of this? And you know a lawsuit's already happening with the NCAA. And maybe there's a lawsuit headed towards the Heisman because you want your Heisman back. And the Heisman committee all of a sudden says, we've decided to give him his Heisman back. How about the public sentiment? Everybody's going, hey, the Heisman Trust Committee, yeah, they're the good guys. I still have an issue. The Heisman Trust changed their own policy of only considering eligible players for the Heisman. According to the NCAA, Reggie Bush was still ineligible to play in those games. NCAA hadn't changed anything, and I guess there's still the defamation lawsuit, but the Heisman Trust does come out as the good guys. Hey, now, we were told by the Heisman Trust. The NCAA was not involved in any of this. And they were very, very adamant about that. So, okay.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.